Hi, I'm Carter Van Hus, and if you're listening to this, this is a special cut of our episode 8. We recorded this specifically for Turnkey and its network. If you've come to us through Turnkey, we really appreciate the listen. We're pretty proud of this segment about video games and fundraising. If you are just a regular listener, you're welcome to tune out. Our episode 8 will have all of the same audio. Just here, we've provided a special cut for Turnkey listeners. If you are a Turnkey listener, please think about listening to the rest of the episode. It's about pizza, so you might not think that it's as relevant to you, but that may just be a little fun extra treat. And if you like what we did here, please give a thought to subscribing to us on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll get out of here and you guys can listen to the episode now.
Hi, welcome to Brought to the Table. This is a show where we have a group of friends that just sort of get together, chill, hang out, and we end up talking about things that we find fun, relevant, or kind of just interesting. Today we have with us Diana Schulberg, myself, Ian Walker, Carter Van Hus, Caitlin Phillips, and Scott Pruitt.
Today we're talking about people making money off of video games, and more specifically, how we're going to apply that to fundraising in the sense of raising money for a charity.
How we are going to make money.
Not we as in the cast of Brought to the Table, but we as in a collective people who do this kind of we. So we're going to be talking about people making money off of playing video games and actually taking that concept and applying it specifically to fundraising. And a lot of this is actually done pretty much on Twitch. Almost exclusively. Like, there are a couple of exceptions, but it's done almost exclusively on Twitch. And this is done through, like, tournaments or streaming or Let's Plays, which Carter has a better description of.
So, Let's Plays are a form of video game media empires that what they do is you, a streamer or a content producer, will record yourself playing a video game, generally in a story context or something. Let's Plays really do well on that because what you do is you play through and you produce a edited, recorded version of the game and you upload it onto YouTube and people are free to watch it whenever they please. That's generally what Let's Plays are. So with Let's Plays, for advertising and for revenue making, there's really not much of a market to be had. Let's Plays are static content that don't respond to their users, and so you essentially just watch it and you're done. You know, imagine you're watching Netflix. There's at no point while you're watching Jessica Jones do you sit there and think, I should donate to them. I should give them my money right now. That's just not something that happens. It's static content. You're already watching it. That's just how it goes. The only way that people make money off of recording video games and uploading them to a site like YouTube is through advertisements that people are forced to watch, which are easily shut down by an ad blocker, or through a subscription service or just a direct pay service. And an issue with that is that those services aren't very popular on things like YouTube for the reason I just explained. Nobody wants to donate through a service if they're just already getting it for free and there's no benefit to it. Streaming, however, is a very different monster. Revenue streams are very concrete. There's no abstractness to them. There's no, well, if I watch this ad, the streamer gets 10 cents per watch and this and that. No, on streams, there are very concrete methods of revenue generation through things like tip jars, virtual tip jars, where you can go to somebody's PayPal and just send them $3. That's their $3. They've got that now. Or you can, Twitch in particular, which is a streaming platform that is owned by Amazon, they allow a subscription service. So you can just every month pay $5 and that streamer gets most of $5. There's a transaction fee, but you know, that's how it goes. These direct interaction revenue streams for the user, for the viewer, really are what drives the success of these businesses. It provides a very direct, concrete way for people to donate money and get that instant feedback.
That instant feedback is really good. And there's actually a couple of like really specific examples that use this kind of like combination of structure to go into using video game streaming as a fundraising, like, medium. There's actually, like, a couple of, maybe businesses is a really great word of saying it, because they're not really companies, but kind of businesses that actually end up putting this, like, together really well. One of them is, like, Extra Life.
Yeah, Extra Life is a really good service. They run events, which are generally sponsored events. They will allow streamers, any streamer, to come to them and say, hey, I want to participate in your event, much like something like Relay for Life would be done. You as a streamer or as a team of streamers would come to Extra Life and say, hey, I want to help you raise money for Game Day, which is an event that they put on every November. These individual streamers or stream teams, I like that, stream teams.
Stream teams.
They use their existing audience as a way to generate money for the fundraising platform. Extra Life in particular uses or donates to Children's Miracle Network, so you know where their money goes. And so this particular format allows many existing audiences to be sort of funneled into one revenue stream for this charity. This is in contrast with another charity organization, Games Done Quick, which does one singular stream, which has a lot of popular gamers come in and play what are called speedruns, which are people attempting to complete video games as fast as they can under a given parameter. So say you just want to beat Super Mario 64 as fast as you possibly can, no limits. If you can defeat Bowser and rescue the princess, you've done it. And these types of games are always very interesting to watch because they take games to the limit of what they were built to do. You don't sit there and watch them play through all the normal hops, skips, and jumps, but instead they break the game, and instead of having to go all the way around this long walkway, they'll just bust through the wall.
Yeah, if you want a good like frame of reference, the original 3D Zelda game, Ocarina of Time, on the N64, which takes like your average person at least like a full 10 or 20 hours to complete, the like speedrun world records are measured in tens of minutes.
Jesus.
But they basically just start, get a sword, glitch to the final boss, and leave.
God.
Yep.
But yeah, that's a really good way that a lot of businesses end up structuring themselves in the streaming medium as a fundraiser. But another important one is we've been talking about using Twitch. Twitch is really, so far, the most popular and the most fluid and the most easiest platform to really hold these fundraising events on. Things like YouTube, where it is not live streaming, and even if it is, you don't have the same setup as Twitch. YouTube, you would post a video, and I've seen a couple companies do it. Like, I've seen Polaris do this with their Civil War, where they were trying to do a massive fundraiser through this, like, oh, watch for the next video, see what'll happen next. And they essentially broke up a stream into three videos and they like staggered the release of it. It didn't work well. People would lose interest by the second video and then they wouldn't keep watching, and then you lose out on a massive audience. With Twitch, it is very live and interactive. You can, like Curter said, you can be using the tip jar to be donating live. You can see your donation pop up on the stream screen.
Stream team stream.
Yes. Say that stream five times dream. Fast.
No.
And so it's a very live, interactive experience. It's like you're actually watching those charity benefit shows on TV where you're raising a bunch of money for like a disaster relief. Well, this is kind of similar in that you are actually able to interact with it. Through this medium of Twitch, you are actually able to send questions, you're able to donate live, and the majority of that, because how Twitch has set up its pay policies versus places like YouTube, majority of that money actually ends up going to that streamer, to that person, to that charity. YouTube takes I can't remember the exact numbers for it, but they take a fair portion for kind of like service fees out of any money that a lot of YouTubers make, and it makes it really difficult unless you have a lot of content to actually make money off of it. With Twitch, like Carter said, if you donate $5, they're getting almost the full $5. There's only a small exchange fee for the actual use of the Twitch medium. So that's just like when we're talking about Twitch and a platform to hold these events on, it's because Twitch, as of like the recording of this podcast, is by and far the really only popular, solid way to do these kinds of events.
Yeah, so along with Twitch, that's not the only streaming option out there. There's actually quite a few. Facebook and YouTube have both launched live streaming services, although neither of them have been particularly successful. Facebook does an all right job for, you know, just I'm doing a live video of me on my phone showing you whatever I'm at. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're specifically talking about streaming video games. And Facebook hasn't had a huge success with that, neither has YouTube. Twitch and Caffeine are two very popular streaming services that people use. Twitch is a very established platform. Caffeine is less so established, but its whole gimmick is that it's easy to become a streamer on their platform. They provide you the tools required. And one, since we're talking specifically about fundraising, or we're trying to apply what we know here to fundraising, Tiltify is a platform that is specifically geared towards fundraising campaigns. When you are looking at a stream, you don't just see the name of the stream, the streamer, and the game. You also see the amount of money they're looking to raise. You see how much they want to raise and how close they are to raising that. So it's sort of this way for streamers to integrate into their platform what they're trying to do. So if you're not on their stream, you still understand what they're trying to get at. Twitch has some third-party applications that use integrations with fundraising applications that allow for the user to show their fundraising goal and their fundraising, how much they've actually raised on stream while they're streaming. And every time a donation comes in, they'll get a notification and be able to read it out loud. And so that's what really sets Twitch apart, is that it's very forward in allowing third-party applications to provide content on their platform beyond just the streamer, you know, having a middleman of sorts helping them provide that content.
In terms of platform, like, those are your kind of like options there for these very specialized types of events. But going forward into making this like a successful, actual, like, massively fundraising event where you can bring in a lot of money, there is a certain amount of community charisma that goes in with the Twitch streamers and the show and the nine. And there are some certain aspects that are good to keep in mind to make sure that you are always like trying to get towards, even if like your personality is different. And all of these are contingent on being an enjoyable person to watch, like being an interesting internet personality to watch. There are just like a couple of things that like really are very common in a lot of the super popular streams.
To start going into what those X factors are, you know, of course you need to be a TV persona. That's something that, of course, if you want to be good at this, you've got to be fun to watch. You know, if I sit there, you know, just kind of frowning the whole time, staring at my stream and playing this game, not conversing with my audience, not engaging, not doing anything, nobody's going to want to watch that. People want to watch something that is engaging. But beyond just the TV personality stuff of it, people want to watch a game that, well, they want to watch. You know, this isn't just a person that they're watching. They're watching the experience of the game. So two really solid examples of people wanting to watch a game. The first one I'm going to use is a game called Dota, which is a MOBA, which, if you aren't familiar with video games and video game terms, that is a style of game that we've actually talked about before when we were discussing Overwatch. And Dota right now for scale is, I believe, the second or third most watched game on Twitch, so it's up there. The problem with MOBAs, if you're not somebody who watches MOBAs, is they're super confusing. I have played one MOBA for 2 weeks, and after that 2 weeks, I didn't really understand it, and I understood the basic concepts, but that took me 2 weeks to understand, you know, that these characters are interacting in this way. So if you aren't somebody who's into that scene, it's really hard to watch.
Yeah, I played a MOBA for like 3 years, and I'm still awful at it. And like, I played one that is very similar to Dota, and I played Dota 2 for like a month, and I still had no idea what was going on.
And so, like, with that knowledge, there's still a massive following for it because the people who do understand it are hardcore fans of this game. And so if you're streaming this game and you're good at this game, people are going to want to watch. Okay? Now, that, you know, very specialized audience that's watching a very specialized game, that's one way to attack it. Another way to attack it is just to stream a digestible game. The most recent example of this, which has just blown the numbers off the charts for streaming numbers, is a game called Fortnite. And Fortnite is a very straightforward game. If you've seen The Hunger Games, what I'm about to describe to you will sound very familiar. 100 people spawn.
There's a boy who likes cake.
There's a boy who likes cake. And you have to find this boy and kill him. No.
I thought you married him.
And you marry him and also kill him. I haven't seen the last movie. So Fortnite is not about finding a man with cake and marrying / murdering him. Fortnite is you and 99 other people are dropped into a massive area, which slowly condenses over time. And your goal, your single goal, is to live and be the last person standing. Okay. So you find weapons, you find materials you can build structures out of, and you try to live. The area that you're allowed to play in gets smaller and smaller, and you have to fight your way to the top. Now, like I said, it sounds just like The Hunger Games or its predecessor, Battle Royale. And when you see this game played, or even if you play this game just once, you know exactly what you need to do. There's no abilities you really need to learn. There's no strategies that, you know, without understanding them, the game becomes useless. If you see the game played, or if you just have a cursory understanding of it, you can immediately get into the game. Another positive about this game is that it's free. You don't have to pay to buy in. Okay. And all of that leads into this game being very streamable. People understand this game, people play this game, and so they relate to it. And it's a very cartoonish style game, and so it's very digestible. It's not a hard, gritty sort of, you know, The Dark Knight Rises sort of, you know, thing that's just hard to look at. It's a very pretty game. And it's a very fun, bouncy game. And so people like to watch it. And that makes these newest streams that are streaming Fortnite, that gives them these massive numbers. Along with games and being a person of charisma, you also can gain benefit from having guests or being connected to some sort of popular stream. Recently, a streamer named Ninja had the most watched stream of all time on Twitch, and it blew the numbers out of the water for it. I don't have the numbers because I didn't look them up. But the reason that he blew these numbers out of the water is because he played Fortnite with Drake, like the Drake, the rapper.
Wait, what? Why?
That's what I said.
Because Drake plays Fortnite. And watching the stream, people were like, oh shit, Drake actually plays Fortnite. This wasn't just a stunt. He just wanted to play Fortnite. And so this one stream just absolutely destroyed the numbers on previously most watched streams. And so having that X factor of just this one guy being on your stream made people want to watch it more. It was something that drew people to it, and then the game was easily digestible and people wanted to watch it. On top of that, you can have early access streams. You can have, you know, alpha, beta streams. You can have streams of games that are freshly out, and these all add some sort of scarcity to your stream and you know, make you something that's more wanted and increasing your viewers, which directly leads to increasing your revenue from the stream.
One of the things that Twitch as this medium for fundraising really excels in is the ability for the streamer or the people playing the video game to just interact with their community. And it is that kind of like personal interaction that really makes you feel more connected, and it makes you more likely to donate to something. There is just such an interactive aspect to the Twitch stream. So, and as a streamer, if you're wanting to enhance your community charisma, you've got to make sure you're constantly interacting with this community. You have to make sure your watchers, the people there, are not forgotten. One of the streams that I watch every Saturday, she streams. And every Saturday, she's like, all right, everybody, we're going to do a little cheers with our coffee cups. And like, she is constantly interacting and answering questions and, you know, saying goodbye or hello, or like, she is always constantly aware of the people who are watching and in the chat. And that naturally enhances your feelings and connection to that person. So in addition to like all of this, like just basic hello, like questions, this, that, especially in terms of fundraising, you have donations and bits. And when you donate bits, for example, they get read on air. A lot of people will read their new subscribers on air or do it in a funny voice or, you know, make a point of singling that person out. So you get more of this personal interaction with this person who you are watching live. It's not just a recording. It's like you are there with them. And, you know, there's also things like, oh, man, guys, if we get 5 more subscribers, if we keep this subscriber train going, we get a new emote. If you're a subscriber, you get all these cool emotes to use in the chat. And if we get 5 more, not only will it donate $5 to the, you know, charity we're working on, but we'll also get a new emote. And there's like all sorts of things like that that generally encourage the more and more you interact with someone, the more and more they're likely to keep watching your stream, and then the more and more they're likely to keep donating to what you're working on and fundraising for.
Yeah, so essentially what that amounts to for the viewer is an instant return on investment. You give them $5 and they read your name to the hundreds of thousands of people watching and they immediately feel validated. And who doesn't love that?
You get that immediate validation by the celebrity that you are watching playing your favorite game.
Yeah, you can have lasting validation. If you donate X amount of money, maybe when you type something in the chat, your name will have a little emblem next to it that everybody knows this person donated $15 at minimum, and so they're better than us. We are unworthy.
Yeah, and actually some of the better streamers start to learn their regulars. So, like I said, I've been following one streamer for about 5 years, and at some point, she knows me to be a regular, which stuns me, because of course I'm one of hundreds of thousands. But at some point, if you are so interactive with your community, you recognize the solid 100 people that are there every time you stream. And then that continues to build a solid base, and then you can keep building off of that.
Games Done Quick, which I mentioned earlier as a gaming fundraising organization, they do a really interesting form of this where they have bidding wars live while they're streaming. So people watching via live stream can, you know, essentially donate more and more money and compete between teams. And the winner of these bidding wars gets a very small effect on the stream itself, on the game. And so they'll be able to choose what color the character who's running the game is wearing, or maybe add a modifier to the speed run. For example, my favorite one is people have to do it blindfolded. People will do these speed runs blindfolded. And that's sometimes a reward that people will get for winning these bidding wars. Or or one is Fortnite has a mode where you can do a custom match where it could be the streamer versus hundreds of followers and hundreds of subscribers. So if you are a subscriber, you could get into that game and be on the stream.
You could get to kill your friends.
Kill your friends and kill the streamer.
There have been some streamers who are like, hey guys, for the first 100 people or the first 10 people or so, or like for Overwatch, when Strippin, one of the other streamers I usually watch, was like, hey, the first 12 people to donate like $100 at least, I will set up a private lobby where you guys can play with me and like one or two of my other like streamer friends that you all watch, and we can play Overwatch for an hour if you're like one of those first people to hit that donation bar kind of thing.
The rewards, the instant return on investment, is just something that I think sets Twitch and streaming services like it with the scrolling sidebar chat apart from something like YouTube, where there's really no opportunity for interaction like that. One other thing that I want to touch on that makes a stream successful, or rather is sort of a bare minimum for success, is regularity. If you're not regular, if you're not eating enough fiber, then your stream's going to just tank, okay? But in all honesty, if you aren't streaming, you know, if you don't have a schedule set for your stream so that people who want to watch you know when they can tune in, then those regulars who depend on that aren't going to show up. If you're streaming irregularly, people are going to have to happen upon your stream by chance, and you can't rely on that. Consistency is key in this industry.
It seems like such a niche thing, but kind of as playing video games and streaming online develops more and more and we kind of jump into this brave new world, this has actually become a really impressive and kind of fast way to earn a lot of money in a considerably short amount of time. Like, in a matter of 24 hours, I have seen somebody's like, I'm going to do a 24-hour stream, but I'll only keep going every hour if we meet X donation thing. You have the ability to raise such a significant amount of money in such a large amount of time that makes using internet streaming as a fundraising opportunity such an impressive and new kind of venture.
All right. I think that's all we have to say on the subject.
Yep.
So that's Brought to the Table. Thank you for giving us a listen. If you liked the episode, please give a thought to listening to the rest of our episodes. We are up on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn right now. We're also at broughttothetable.com. You can also email us at broughttothetable@gmail.com. We love submissions, questions, comments, and concerns, any notes that you have about the episode, anything. We love it. So just give us a shout, and yeah, thanks for listening. Bye.